I'm here at Nafina GAA Club in Dublin reporting for Off the Ball. 3,000 members call Nafina home. It's home to over 125 competitive teams. And this week, the club was rocked with the news that everything here in front of me and behind me, this main pitch and two all-weather pitches, have been requisitioned as part of a plan to build the Metro Link. We're here to talk to members to find out their concerns and their fears as their club is now fighting for survival.
I started playing when I was about 10.
I'm about seven or eight, I was down here playing, yeah.
Aidan Downes and Sarah Quinn met in Nafina as kids. They went on to get married and are now expecting their first child together. They've spoken about the impact this event has had on them.
I was in Skelmovey there behind us. We grew up here. We played on the pitches. We hung around as teenagers on the pitches. Sarah's about to have a child that we'd hope would have the same life and great times that we had here in the community. And we don't know what's going on. There's such an uncertainty here. We're hoping it won't happen, but we just don't know. So it's been tough the last couple of days.
And Sarah, I get the sense from talking to people that it's more than just kind of pitches. If you could sum up what the area is, could you do that in a couple of words?
This has been our whole life. As Aidan said, we grew up here, but our whole friendship group is here. Our whole social circle is here. We socialise here every weekend. We go to every match possible just because we love it that much. And to think in 4 years' time that this little baby or little child won't have the same nursery facilities that are here at the moment is just so sad. It's just not okay.
It's actually been a bit traumatic. I'm a member here for 40 years. I saw this club before this building was here. I saw it before the all-weathers were here. I've seen the club thrive. I've seen it thrive. This is absolutely, this is a kick in the guts. This has ripped us apart. Well, I won't say ripped us apart, but it has absolutely, it's been a kick in the guts is the best way of phrasing it.
Been described as tearing the heart and soul out of the community. What does it mean? Can you put into words how or why this could potentially tear Nafina's heart and soul out?
I don't think you'll ever tear the heart and soul out of Nafina. We will build, but it's just look at the kids that are here today. My kids are here. I came across one of the girls that I used to babysit for her as I was growing up. Now she's going to be living on my road and my kids will babysit her kids. I have three kids in this club. I want them to have the same experience as I had. This club is part and parcel of my life and I want that for other children here. That's why I'm involved here on a Saturday morning on a voluntary basis. That's why I train teams. It's all about passing on what this club has given us.
It's a disaster, and you know that it's not going to be for just 3 weeks or 3 years. You know it's going to be at least 6, maybe 10, and That'll be devastating for the club. And when you look around, where are all these children going to go on a Saturday morning with no other grounds?
Where are all those children going to be on a Saturday morning or a Sunday or a Wednesday evening in the summer? Where are they going to be? Standing at corners? Sitting glued to televisions? It's a disgrace. And there are alternatives. They're always talking about underground. There's plenty of place around here for an underground train if they have to have it, which I don't think they do have to have it. We have a lot of transport all around the whole city. I think that those who are planning these things should come out, spend 3 months of the year in the vicinity, be part of the locality and see the damage they're doing. They can't see this by sitting in an office chair and looking at a map. That's not good enough. It's human beings they're thinking of. We are thinking of them, but they're not thinking of human beings. They're not thinking of the future of these children.
98FM Sport with Captain America's Cookhouse and Bar. Great food, kick-ass cocktails, and rockin' music.
It is transfer deadline day and the clock is ticking. The transfer window closes tonight. Still some deals to be done. Everyone's asking about Philippe Coutinho. He's keen on joining Barcelona. They haven't come back yet since a fourth bid of €145 million was turned down. This one could drag on. Spain's transfer window doesn't close until tomorrow. Meanwhile, Alex Oxlade-Chamberlain's expected to complete his move from Arsenal to Liverpool by 11. The clubs have agreed a €40 million fee. still some doubts about the futures of his current teammates, Alexis Sanchez. He wants to leave the Gunners. He's not happy there. He mopes around. He's sad. He wants to play in a team in the Champions League, but they are having none of it. He's being forced to stay. Yeah, I'm kind of over it now. Riyad Mahrez could be set to leave Leicester.
Yeah, you're very welcome to tonight's show. Now, we are going to bring you a very honest interview with Bernard Brogan. Now, the Dublin man will open up for the first time about the moment he found out he'd been dropped for the All-Ireland final replay against Mayo last year. He talks about the challenge of recapturing his starting spot and his best form, the Dermot Connolly ban, and more with 98FM's Darren Cleary. He began by talking about his Dublin debut, which came 10 years ago this week, would you believe?
10 years on from the breakthrough and then fighting hard to get your place, you're now in that position again, all over having been a starter for a number of years. Does that bring back the insecurities and nervousness of being a young lad on the panel now that you're the slightly older lad trying to get your spot?
Yeah, it's a different challenge, but not a challenge that I've had before. And I've always thought that when asked questions of or when put under pressure, I've answered it. When Pat Gilroy put me under pressure in 2010, wanted more out of me, wanted me to work harder, wanted me to act more as a team player and work more as a unit. I went on to have my best year ever and won player of the year in 2010, so it's a new challenge for me, and I just have to get my mindset right for it, but I'm up for it. I'm a Dublin fan. I love every moment I can get in that blue jersey, and I'm not ready to let it go, and I'll be fighting hard to be competitive on the pitch.
I know it sounds simple in theory to say the best players get the first 15 jerseys, but it is so subjective, and you probably talk going into the All-Ireland final replay, you probably maybe not agreed with Jim that you deserved not to start in that game, did you?
Yeah, no, I definitely obviously thought I would have played. I was a little bit unlucky in the first game. I thought I had a lot more to give, and Jim just said, I have a different challenge for you, and to be honest with you, it actually took a lot of pressure off me, because when you're on that there and it's so competitive and you have lads on the line looking like that, and those questions been asked of me that coming into those games, it was tough. So it actually, for whatever reason, it just gave me a bit of a breather, and I said, I have a new challenge. Jim said, you're going to be playing for 20 minutes, get the head right, I'm just going to do something different. And I says, fair enough, no problem. And I went on, I says, watch the game. I says, when I come on, I want to make a difference. And thank God we have a competitive team that in the past we've had some great kind of support off the bench. And if whatever way it falls this year, as I said, I'm hoping for that starting 15 jersey. But if I have to come off the bench, I'll have the head right and I'll do what's right for the team.
How mentally challenging is it to, having been a starter for years, to find out on the biggest day of your career, because I'm sure All-Ireland finals, no matter what year they are, they're the biggest day, that it's not going to be your day, you're going to come in for a job for 20 minutes. Now you seem to have mellowed and you seem okay with the course of action and what it meant. At the time, were you bullying, were you pissed off?
To be honest with you, I was obviously upset. Like, it was the first time I hadn't started for Dublin, I think, in, I don't know, I can't even remember the last time up until before 2007, so it was obviously difficult for me. But Jim said it to me in training on the Thursday before. He said it to Michael Dara McCauley, so I knew me and Michael Dara McCauley weren't starting, so I grabbed Michael Dara before training and I says, he's going to call out the team here in the circle and everyone's going to look at me and you who are so-called starters or first team sheet players, and they're all going to look at us, and I says, look everyone in back in the eye and hold the head up, and they won't be able to believe the reaction that they get from us. So as I said, the team was called out, myself, Michael Dara stood their chest out and eyeballed every one of them and just gave them an impression that we're here for the team, and lads after the All-Ireland actually talked about and says, I couldn't believe the reaction that we got from you that day. And that's what it's about, you know, being able to do what's right for the team, even though deep inside you're disappointed, but put on that front to show the team that it's not about you, it's not about individuals, it's about a team. We win together, we lose together, and that's the lesson that I've learned over my 10 or 12 years involved with Dublin.
The final day of the Fairy House Easter Festival has been called off due to the rain. The track has failed an early morning pitch inspection. 20-1 runner General Principal handed Gordon Elliott a first victory in the Irish Grand National yesterday. He then became the first trainer to record 200 winners in Ireland in a single season. JJ Slevin in the saddle.
Some plenty of carnage at the last thing. Bell Sinner nearly landed on him. I was just trying to keep my momentum going, doing my own thing, and he got away from me anyway, you know. Kept the bait in his mouth there and kept him popping away.
Does anyone speak Wexford? Anyone at all?
Stop that.
I don't speak Wexford, so I've enlisted the help of the translation department here in Marconi House.
Some plenty of carnage at the last thing. Bell Sinner nearly landed off.
I am very happy with the win. It was a tough race, but the horse ran well and kept on popping away.
That would make sense.
Right, don't worry.
That is your offtheball.com sport on 98FM.
Now, Coola are the All-Ireland Senior Hurling Champions for a third year in a row. The Docky men beat Kilmacud Croaks 1-13 points at Parnell Park yesterday. Off the Ball's Darren Cleary was there and has been describing the winning moment.
We're into 5 minutes of additional time. It's Coola leading by 1-12 to 13 points. They are seconds away from being crowned champions. They've got possession of the ball. And the icing on the cake for Coola. It's a point to extend their advantage to 3. We played 6 minutes and then some of additional time. And the full time whistle is blown. It's over. Coola are the Dublin Senior Hurling Champions for the third year in a row. They've beaten Kilmacud Croaks here by 113 to 13 points. Joyous scenes on the pitch as the Docky men retain their crown by defeating Croaks by 3 points.
Coola's captain, Paul Shute.
The Cup is going to spend the winter in the familiar surroundings of Docky. Coola, the Dublin Senior Hurling A champions for the third year in a row. They've beaten Kilmacud Croaks here in front of a packed Parnell Park by 113 to 13 points. Alongside me now, delighted to chat to the Coola captain, Paul Shute. Paul, it's a familiar feeling in many ways, but sum it up for me.
It's a feeling that you'll never get tired of. It's absolutely brilliant. Three in a row, like, it's unbelievably tough. The standard of club hurling in Dublin is very, very high. Like we said, the biggest challenge for us is to get out of Dublin again, and then we can start trying to concentrate on winning Leinster. But to be honest, like, a lot of us wanted to copy our dads, who'd won 3 championships with the club. So I suppose that was always a goal for us, and now to achieve it is just absolutely brilliant.
98FM and offtheball.com with Captain America's Cookhouse and Bar. Great food, kick-ass cocktails, and rockin' music.
The stakes couldn't be higher tonight. A win over Denmark sends Ireland to the World Cup. We need a goal. We need a hero.
Duff in close attendance. Keane is fouled. Duff helping it on towards Finnett. And a little cross in there. And it's come through here. McAteer! There has been agony this afternoon. Now there is ecstasy. A missed kick by Sansom. In goes Aldridge. And Houghton! 1-0! And Ray Houghton has got the breakthrough. Cannot believe it.
Forward it goes again by Kinsella. Quinn heads on. Oh, surely this time for Keane. And Ireland do it. Robbie Keane, the second minute of stoppage time, has scored the equaliser.
Houlihan. Arsenal, in his 52nd international appearance, is entrusted with the responsibility of taking the penalty that could send Ireland into the quarterfinals of the World Cup. This kick can decide it all. The nation holds its breath. Yes, we're there!
I believe in the manager, I believe in the players, I believe in all the backroom staff, I believe in everyone. I only see one outcome. I think Ireland are going to the World Cup. I don't think anyone would stand in our way. And I believe we will go to the World Cup.
The official weather forecast for Dublin on 98FM.
With Huno. Save on thousands of hotels across Ireland and worldwide. Visit Huno.com. That's Huno.com.
Few bright spells today, but generally cloudy with some patches of drizzle. Top temperatures of 12 degrees. Right now it's 10. 98FM's Dublin Talks with Adrian Kennedy. Back this morning from 10, only on 98FM.
By the way, that was lovely, Sarah.
Yes, Darren.
We're going to the World Cup, everyone. I'm sure of it.
Now, as Roy Keane would say, don't get ahead of yourself.
No, now
Sam.
I'm sure of it. We're going to win tonight. We're going to go to the World Cup, and it's going to be brilliant.
I think so, too.
A
shrill shriek, the coup de grace for Ireland. It signals the end of the World Cup dream, dashed tonight here at the Aviva Stadium by Denmark. They have been completely humbled and hammered, going down by 5-1. The road to Russia ends in Dublin. The World Cup dream of many players will not be realised. The Republic of Ireland have bowed out and been completely and utterly outclassed here by a Denmark side who, aside from 10-15 minutes at the start, were better for much of the game. The meekest Irish performance in many a year here at the Aviva Stadium. The last time Ireland beaten like this was at the hands of Germany by 6-1. This one will sting that little bit more because Denmark are no world beaters. The World Cup dream has ended, and it's ended in humiliating fashion. It's finished Republic of Ireland 1-5.
Well, stay there for one second, Teresa, because I'm joined in the studio by Darren Cleary from 98FM Sport, who has a very strong opinion. I was kind of overheard conversations earlier on, Darren. A lot of people saying, in fact, the majority of people saying, that Na Fianna need to get over themselves and they should not be standing in the way of progress of what is an essential piece of infrastructure in Dublin.
I think it's an essential piece of infrastructure in Dublin. I absolutely do. But at what stage do we start prioritising social capital over transport links? I mean, there are many ways, Adrian, to get to the airport.
Yeah, the bus, a taxi.
The bus, dozens, taxis. Are we that desperate for a metro link that has to destroy for 6 years, the guts of a decade, a massive social community infrastructure?
I get all that. I was saying that I find it quite embarrassing. For example, I'm going to Switzerland this afternoon and I'll get off the plane in Zurich Airport. I have a choice of a tram. I have a choice of an underground train. We need this facility. And, you know, a lot of people are saying, sorry, Na Fianna, if it puts you out a little bit for a couple of years, but we need this more than, it's going to serve more people than Na Fianna even does.
But it's too lazy to say, sorry, Na Fianna. This isn't Na Fianna. This isn't a faceless entity. This is 3,000 human beings.
No, I understand that. I'm very familiar with the club. I'm aware of what they do.
The suggestion that, you know, Na Fianna is an entity that is trying to stand in the way of progress, I think is lazy. And I think it's a disservice to the debate. I think the debate should be about what's important in life. Transport links to infrastructure of the city, does it need to be done at the expense of the community? Does it need to be done at the expense of housing?
Somebody is always going to be put out, though. I know, for example, a butcher friend of mine on Moore Street, and while the Lewis was being built, his business nearly shut down.
Why does one community need to bear the brunt of this massive?
Just so happens that that's the route of the metro.
Is that the only way you can get from where they need to go to where they need to be? Is that the only way they can go?
Well, Billy, what do you say to all that?
Well, I'm not an engineer. Unless they were to build a highway, you know, from airport out into the city centre.
My understanding is that section will be underground, is that right? Where Na Fianna is, and it will be a building site at the front of the Na Fianna ground in order to facilitate that development. Am I right? Have I got that right?
That's my understanding of it. It'll be a tunnel boring depot for the duration of the project.
Right. So
and
when the project is over,
it'll be a Moby Road station.
A Moby Road station. Yeah. Okay. But won't the ground return to where it was then after that?
In 6 to 10 years' time, there may not be a club to return grounds to in 6 to 10 years' time.
Okay, I'm also being told, which I didn't realise, that Na Fianna have pitches out near Dardistown, is that right?
No, they're Dublin City Council pitches. Na Fianna, like all GAA clubs in the city, can ask Dublin City Council for pitches. There's only one pitch Na Fianna are ever guaranteed access. That's the main pitch on Moby Road. That's their pitch, they own it, they have control over it. They play in St. Vincent's School, they played in Johnstown Park, they play all over the city, in the north side of the city. But they're council pitches and they rely on the good graces of the council to fix matches for there. There's only one pitch Na Fianna have that they're guaranteed access to, and it's this one.
But it's not the end of the world. They'll still be able to play matches.
How many people will they lose in the interim who will decide, oh, do I really want to put myself through the hassle here? How many people from that environ who drink in the club and socialise in the club? And
but the clubhouse will stay.
But it won't operate if there's no GAA club there, Adrian. It's a GAA club is more than just a crest on a jersey or a dressing room or a ball. It's about the sense of community.